Blog Talk Radio.
Who's popping, my niggas? PSA motherfucking podcast in the building. You already know what it is, man. I'm gonna drop a few segments. Let me get the bro in right quick, man. Sean, what's good, my G?
Yo, what's good, my G? What's popping?
What's popping? Shit, I can't call it, my nigga. How you?
I'm chilling, my G. Chilling.
All right. What you want to tackle first, my nigga? It's on you tonight. Pause.
Well, let's tackle what's going on right now. Conor McGregor.
Okay.
And Floyd Mayweather.
Let's talk about it.
They was in the Barclays Center today. Brooklyn was lit, but it was whack how they had, based on my timeline, they had people wait for an hour and a half. And
because your man went to cop some jewelry, got
it wasn't as lit though as Toronto. Toronto, that shit was gonna fly.
I was watching the shit on FS2, and I think the broadcaster said it himself that the most turnout was in Brooklyn, more than Toronto, and more than Vegas.
Okay,
attendance wise.
All right. I did not know that because you know I'm basically reading my timeline to see what's going on.
The whole shit, my nigga.
Okay, so did they argue with each other the way they did at the other stops in Los Angeles Toronto?
Listen, my wife, who doesn't watch boxing like that, bro, she's watched me watch the last couple ones, and she said it herself, and this is a woman saying this. Floyd need to really rehearse his lines when he's trying to have war words. Well, Conor, it just seemed like the same repetitive shit. I'm going to break out the fucking money bag. I'm going to have one of these niggas bring the bag up here. And listen, if we're going to say mic skills, Conor's going to win that twice on Sunday. Obviously, and what I'm learning also, Sean, that MMA has taken over boxing. And when I say that, brother, I'm going off the crowd. Now, obviously, the crowd is running with Conor McGregor. Hard body karate. Now in Brooklyn tonight, it was a mixture. You had people like Floyd was getting booed out the building in Toronto, booed out the building in the last two places they were at. Brooklyn showed him a little bit love, but Conor's still running. The crowd is still running with Conor, my G. You agree that MMA, this is more of an MMA crowd, even though this is a boxing event between Floyd and Conor?
Yes. I will agree to it, but there's a but to it. I am not a mixed martial arts guy, so I don't know enough about it. I know that big boxing events sell out. I know that for a fact. But I also know MMA is real big. But the fact that they can generate this much revenue with the leading guy from MMA. Now, my question, what I want to know is, why is Conor McGregor so beloved? Because the last I checked, based on what Floyd is saying, he lost to Nick Diaz. He tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes him, with the loss, so loved throughout the world? And it seems like he can violate and break every rule and law in American sport to promote an event.
Elaborate to the people. Hold on, elaborate to the people when you say that, my G, the last part you said.
Well, this is what I'm saying. It seems like he can act a goddamn fool. This is like he can say and do whatever he wants to do. And he gets praised for it from all media, all print journalism. And it's blowing my mind to see this. You know,
my
we
nigga,
come from a country.
Is it the it factor, though? Like, you and I, in the battle rap terms, like, certain individuals, we watch the battle rap, and we say maybe New Jersey Twerk has the it factor. Sue Surf and A-Verb had that talk game when they have interviews. It's must-see TV. It's a must-listen. And I think Conor has that effect that those brothers have. He's must-see TV, my dude. Like, he controls the crowd. He's selling this fight more than Floyd. He's really selling this fight way more than Floyd. Now, is that going to help him get a W? I don't think so, brother, but you're right. And I got to say, I didn't really, and I'm not saying, he addressed the racist comments tonight, because obviously he's hearing the rumbling, Sean, of people saying, yo, that boy comment, dance like a boy and all this other shit. He's hearing the rumblings of people saying, yo, you know what I mean? He came out tonight quoting Biggie lyrics, my nigga, quoting Biggie rhymes. Did I cringe and chuckle at the same time? Yeah, because I was kind of like, okay, you in Toronto, you quoted Drake's line. So he's know what he's doing. He listen, it's obviously he's watched Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes do promos, because this nigga's promo game is on some WWE shit, my nigga. And The Rock.
I agree. Rock, by the way, greatest promo guy in my wrestling lifetime when it comes to selling an event. So that's big respect to him that he's that he's getting that much props for the way he's carrying this pay-per-view event. When they go to London tomorrow, it's going to be 1,000% McGregor. 1,000%.
Because
when Mayweather fought Hatton, it was like everybody was there for Hatton. The whole goddamn Britain came to Vegas.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And Floyd Mayweather is not a likable guy. It's that simple. He is not a likable guy.
And let me piggyback on what you're saying. I think he's not likable, obviously, to white America. And some black folks don't really rock with Floyd like that either, brother. Let's keep it tall. Not every black person rocks with Floyd.
A lot of black people who love boxing that I know hate Floyd Mayweather because they hate his defensive style. And they quickly catch amnesia when he used to fight at 130 and knock everybody out. Everybody catches amnesia of Floyd's career from 1996 to 2005. You know what I'm saying? They forget all that.
Let's keep it tall, my guy. You and I come from the boxing. We watch Muhammad Ali. We watch Joe Frazier. We watch George Foreman, Mike Tyson, Spinks, Arturo Gatti, all these guys that they make you want to watch their matches. Now, as great as Floyd is, I got to salute him on a 49-0 record. My nigga, his fights are boring. Let's keep it tall, my guy. His fights are fucking boring as shit. I know he plays defense, my nigga, but it's boring, is it not?
No. You mentioned Arturo Gatti. The last I checked, Floyd Mayweather went to Atlantic City and beat the shit out of Arturo Gatti.
When I say Arturo Gatti, I'm just saying in the sense of, yo, it's okay. Blood. I like seeing blood, my nigga. I like seeing blood on the floor. I like seeing niggas punching.
I understand that, and I'm going to give you another.
Not Chris Brown with the dance moves, my nigga. I ain't trying to see that.
Now, here's the problem with that. Why he has to get so much props is because every fighter who was supposed to aggressively run him down and beat him up could not do it.
That is not
Floyd Mayweather's fault because they couldn't do it. Maidana got two fights with him. The judges let Maidana cheat in both fights, elbowing him, bum rushing him, all that shit. And he still couldn't beat him. So,
disagreeing with you, fam. I'm not disagreeing with you. All I'm saying is fights are boring.
Right. My point is, can the other fighter make it unboring? Go knock his ass out. It's that simple. It's that simple. You know what I'm saying? But there is a lot of. Let me just say straight up what I feel. White America wants Floyd Mayweather to lose. A lot of black people who want him. I think a lot of Hispanic people want him to lose because Floyd Mayweather has never lost to a Hispanic or a Mexican in his goddamn life. He never loses to them. Okay? Ever. Mm-hmm. He's beaten all of them. He's undefeated. So,
but let me say something today. Let me say something right quick. I watched PTI today, right? And Michael Wilbon and Frank Gasola was on today. And Michael Wilbon said he don't really rock with Floyd Mayweather like that. But he's actually pulling for Floyd. He said he's never pulled for Floyd to win a fight. But he's actually pulling for Floyd to beat the snot rag He said snot rag Michael Wilbon out of Conor McGregor.
Well, it's this simple. Michael Wilbon, you played yourself. Because if you wasn't going for Floyd Mayweather against Ricky Hatton, you a sucker. If you was going for Ricky Hatton to beat Floyd Mayweather, you a sucker.
Right.
Like Brad
Facts,
Pitt,
I agree with
sucker.
That.
My nigga Denzel Washington was there for Floyd Mayweather. Fuck out of here. Niggas hate Floyd Mayweather. And he's, listen, it's not easy to like him. It is not easy to like Floyd Mayweather.
You acknowledge that, though. I'm glad you acknowledge that, though.
It's very difficult. Listen, first of all, they have him as a Chris Brown type of guy. You see how Chris Brown can never get away from the Rihanna beating? You know how there's a certain segment that holds him in that box? They hold Mayweather in that same box. They look at him the same way. They make it vet. So there's a large segment.
We've never heard Floyd. We've heard Floyd Mayweather in domestic violence situations, but we didn't see the graphic pictures that we've seen of Chris Brown and Rihanna. I think that's a totally different thing. Chris Brown did to Rihanna. We don't know if Mayweather did some shit like that to a woman the way Chris Brown did.
That's why it's 100%. This is what we do know. Floyd Mayweather went to jail for domestic violence. He went to jail.
Definitely.
He went to jail because this is not made up. And he went to jail because he beat the shit out of his ex-girlfriend. Because she's fucking another nigga. And he couldn't take it. But my point is, Floyd Mayweather makes it very difficult to support him. And then you have Conor McGregor, who champions every white racist piece of shit in the world.
Oh,
he
damn.
He champions them.
Let's be real. He's from Ireland, Irish. He came up under poor living arrangements, poor background, and, you know, if you want to say, like, he quoted Drake, started from the bottom, now I'm here. You get what I'm saying? What I've also noticed, Sean, is this. So I'm watching the live feed today, right? And I'm watching the niggas' comments as the live feed is going on. And like you said a second ago, my brother, the racist comments, my nigga, white America, nigga this, nigga that. Like, they are really, and I think, man, we got to really be careful on the 26th when this fight goes down. I'm talking about security-wise. Because if Floyd does beat him, I think it's just, I don't know, man. First of all, I'm not excited about the fight, but the press conference makes me want to watch the fight. It really does.
So here's the thing. Conor McGregor is going to find out what everybody who steps in the boxing ring finds out. Floyd Mayweather is bigger and stronger than you fucking think. And he's fought every single kind of fighter you could possibly fight. Conor McGregor is not a boxer. And it's going to become very clear when he realizes I can't just bum rush him and knock him out. When he realizes that he just can't run and start swinging and that will knock Mayweather out, he's going to have no idea of what to do with this.
And real quick, Conor, I know you out here talking about you gonna beat this man in the fourth round. Come on, my nigga. I know you gotta sell that to your audience, to your MMA audience, but you ain't beating this man no goddamn four rounds, bro. Knock it off.
Here's the thing. How can anybody who knows anything about Floyd Mayweather even respect him for saying that when the man has never been knocked out? When everybody who says it's like the boring, they're boring because they go 12 rounds. So all of a sudden, a guy who's not a boxer is going to get in the ring and just knock Floyd Mayweather out. Come on, my nigga.
Yeah,
this
that's ridiculous.
All people's
but,
hopes,
all right.
dreams,
Let's
aspiration.
Play. Let's play devil's advocate now. The age barrier, 40 years old, was kind of early, mid-20s. Any concern that
Conor,
at 40 years
Conor's
age, 40 years senior, he's 28, and 40 years old with Floyd Mayweather, father time has set in with Floyd. Now, if he loses, we gotta throw it out here. One thing about me and you, we'd be fair. We might not fuck with Conor's comments. I like Conor's persona. Let me say that right quick. And I think what I've also noticed that black people fuck with Conor, but the white folks don't fuck with Floyd. Not saying every brother fucks with Conor, but there's more brothers that fuck with Conor than more white folks that fuck with Floyd. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
if he gets an L, his first L, this is his first time boxing. This ain't MMA shit. What are we going to be talking about, my nigga?
It tarnishes Floyd Mayweather's legacy to me, personally. This is just
really?
Me speaking. It tarnishes
okay.
his legacy. Because this guy's not a boxer. See, this is not mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts, like Floyd Mayweather and his father would say, it's motherfuckers who can't fight. You know? They gotta have they have to have the rules for everything. Kicking, headbutting, punching, elbowing, all that shit gotta be in there. Boxing is called the sweet science for a reason. So to me personally, it would hurt me to my heart for Floyd to lose to a motherfucker like this, a motherfucker who's not even the best in MMA, a motherfucker who got 3 losses already in MMA.
Hold on.
So it would really fuck with
when
me.
You talk about Conor, when you talk about Conor, your voice kind of turns up, though. You don't fuck with him at all. I take it at all.
It's not that I don't fuck with him at all, but the guy already has 3 losses in MMA. He's not the best that MMA has to offer. You know what I'm saying? So what promotes his hype? Because he loves black culture? Because he listens to rap? You know what I'm saying? Because he knows
what
Drake
is. We would agree, though, that Conor has a better chance in the boxing ring than Floyd does have in the octagon. We couldn't agree with that, right?
I agree with that. I agree with that. 100% I agree with that. But this is boxing, a sport that we could trace 100 years back. We can actually trace it, see film footage of it. This is one of the oldest sports in America, okay? You just can't jump in there and be like, oh, I can box. So this is going to be a very interesting.
Floyd was throwing money on Conor today, calling him a hoe, a stripper, throwing ones on him and all that. Now, let me ask you a question about the skeptical of the press conferences. We've never seen shit like this, my nigga. We've seen crazy shit throughout the years. We've seen Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis go crazy. We've seen shit. But the press conferences, man, the language barrier, the curse words and all that, do you think the boxing world is fucking with that? Or that's just the MMA crowd? Because Conor is really setting the tone on the press conferences, man. It seems like Floyd is just following suit.
They are allowing Conor to violate every professional rule in promoting American professional sports and trying to act like this is normal. If this is 2 black guys acting like this, do you know the negative coverage that would happen?
Oh, definitely. If that was me and you, my nigga.
You know, the fact that Conor get out there and just the head of Showtime, curse out whoever he wants, like my man, that is crazy that he could do that. It's crazy that he could do that.
Right.
Like, really crazy. And people want to co-sign it like, yeah, this is great, this is good, this is all that. All right, you're doing a great job hyping this fight up. And Floyd, when you go to London, man, you're getting no love.
The wankers, are they going to be calling you bloody wank to you? Are they going to be cursing them out? Jesus, my nigga. I don't know, man. That shit is crazy. Are you surprised that Floyd really decided to take this bout, though?
Nope, because Floyd has only been about money. Only. Money's his only motivating factor. It's his only motivating factor.
So it's a money movie,
and
trying to say.
He's clearly going to get so much money from this. No way he could turn it down. There's no way. He's breaking the bank with this fight. He's breaking the bank with this fight. So, you know, he's walking around with $100 million checks. You know, so Floyd's about getting paid.
Are you going to watch the fight?
Yes.
Why? I'm just curious. I am also. I'm just curious to know why you are. I am also. Don't get it fucked
because it's the biggest sporting event. It's a big, giant sporting event, and I watch big sporting events.
Do you have Floyd winning by knockout? Because he doesn't knock people out, my nigga. Let's be real. He hasn't knocked out anybody in years. Is he going to go the distance, and then we got to go to the cards?
I think Floyd is going to easily win this in 12 rounds. Conor McGregor has no idea, because in his mind, it's going to be the same thing. Hatton, all these guys who are bigger, Pacquiao, Hatton, everybody who fights Mayweather, Sugar Shane, they're convinced he doesn't fight, he just runs. Watch what I do. And when they get in there, everything changes. Why does everything change with every great fighter when they get in the ring with him? And then they say, damn, he's bigger than I thought he was. He's stronger than I thought he was. And McGregor's going to find out. I saw when McGregor took his shirt off. I was like, dude, that's what you coming in with? You're not housing Floyd with that. You're not housing him. And let me tell you, if you know anything about Floyd's fights, his boxing has to offer. And they are boxers. And they couldn't do it. So I'm just hoping Conor doesn't do something stupid like headbutt him or elbow him or do some dumb shit and fuck the fight.
Yes, I agree with that. You know what? And no one said that. And I haven't heard anybody say that, what you just said. And I think that's a very – I'm be concerned about that, because do you think it's instincts that Conor's going to forget sometimes? Let's say he's getting lumped up and he's forgetting that, yo, I can't raise my foot up at this nigga. You feel me? Do you think it's going to be hard for him to resist that, or because he's training right now, that this is why he's training, so he won't fall into those kind of tactics?
When the rounds go on and he's like, yo, I can't beat him as boxing, and Floyd Mayweather starts clowning him, beating him, not fighting him, and he gets frustrated, I'm scared he might rush into him, you know. And remember, headbutts are normal in boxing. It happens a lot. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just hoping that that doesn't happen.
Shit, headbutts was the reason what set off Mike Tyson and fucking Holyfield, my guy. You know what I mean?
Mike Tyson bitched up before somebody wasn't scared of him. I'll never let nobody make excuses why Tyson lost that fight. Before somebody who was not afraid of him, straight up. They fought a second time and he lost again. He just could not be Holyfield. Styles make
yo,
it right.
Yo, come on, man. Don't, Michael's my childhood hero, man. Don't do
twice.
That, son.
Your childhood hero, what? He lost to Holyfield twice.
I know, my nigga. All right. You got to throw it in so many times with so much emphasis, my G. Lord, mercy. That's what it is, man. Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, boy, these niggas are really putting on a fucking minstrel show. Now, appreciation talk, man. This is what we do. You know what I'm saying? We've done so many. I can't even. Y'all niggas go check the channel. You already know what it is, man. Well, we're going to go to Southside, Jamaica, Queens. Curtis Jackson, a.k.a. 50 Cent. Now, you want to explain to the people where he got his name from? Because some people might know the story. They might not know the story. I think that's why I'll start it first.
50 Cent got his name from Notorious Sick of Kid in Brooklyn, from Opening Projects. Named 50 Cent. And he was a guy who used to kill people, rob people. And he did it in New York under pressure to the point where there was a bounty on this man's life.
Real shit.
And he was so notorious, such impact in the 80s with his name. His name rang bells in the streets of New York City in the 80s. That 50 Cent, who comes from a gangster lifestyle in Southside Jamaica, Queens, took the name. You know, rappers like taking names of gangsters. Sean called himself
Correct.
Alpo. He called himself 50. You know what I'm saying?
Squad
Rick wanted to call himself Lake Diamond. So, you know, he used to call himself Salsa. So this is just normal hip-hop shit. You take the name of gangsters from the past and you, you know, give yourself that name. So that's how you got it.
Now, when was the first time you heard 50 Cent? Is it safe to say how to rob? That's when we first got introduced to 50?
No, it's not the first time I heard 50 Cent. The first time I heard 50 Cent was when he was on Onyx's album in 1998. When he was
Slam.
Wearing
React.
Hockey gear.
That
yes.
Video is trash. Yo, hold on real quick,
and
man. Archie Bunker Awards. Wait for it. Video is trash. Good.
And he was and he was in a hockey mask, and he rhymed with them. That was the first time I heard of him, and I didn't think nothing of it.
See, but that's the point I'm making. We thought nothing of it. So how to rob? I felt when you first heard how to rob, what did you think?
I thought it was one of the dopest songs I ever heard. I thought it was one of the dopest songs I ever heard. And
I disagree with you, but go ahead.
It was number one on Hot 97. Angie Martinez used to be on Hot 97, and she used to do the Hot 88. And it reached number one. The song was very popular. Let's just tell you how popular it was. For an artist who nobody knew, damn near every major established artist who he mentioned responded to him because of that song. That's the impact of that song. So that song had a big impact because it had Hova God say, I'm about,
what about a dollar. What the fuck is 50 Cent?
What the fuck is 50 Cent? Only because of How to Rob. Let's go to Supreme Clientele. You tell that story.
Wow, with Ghostface, when they wasn't that the fucking intro when they was talking about 50 and shit? If memory serves me right,
with Cloud,
when they was doing
like
an interlude.
Yo, this Cloud, 50 Cent, yo, word one. So you had Jay-Z, you had The Wu. This is the height of their careers. They responded to this music. What Jigga just sold
now,
for a mil, he got something in there for. He don't want to see four of that Bentley coupe door. Hope had to respond to that because that was slick talk. That was slick talk.
Now let me tell you. When I first heard 50 How to Rob, I wasn't feeling it. And let me tell you why. Because I was on some shit like, who the fuck is this nigga coming out with a song like this, coming out all the rappers that I fuck with? RZA and them niggas with the funny gold rings, you know, dirty Staten Island niggas. Like, what the fuck? I was like, nigga, what have you done to fucking merit even coming at niggas like that? Like, I mean, obviously the word trolling was in effect, but now that I look at it, from what, 99, right? So now we're in 2017, that was trolling, was it not? Now that we look it back now.
I'm calling that trolling.
It was trolling.
I'm not calling that trolling.
It was trolling.
I'm not going to use that word to describe it. I'm not putting modern internet shit on how it was because I didn't think that. Shit was a dope ass song. Mad Rapper produced by Derek Angeletti, who was the Mad Rapper. And by the way, the song was also on the Mad Rapper's album.
Facts.
Can I
say something about the Mad Rapper's album? Mad Rapper had like everybody mama on that album. Remember that shit? Jesus Christ, it's like a feature on every fucking song.
That was the last cassette tape I ever bought.
That was the last one?
Cassette tape I ever bought.
Now, you go into Power of a Dollar. Power of a Dollar is a fucking classic, is it not?
Let's keep it 100. Before Power of a Dollar, all he had was the single, Your Life's on the Line.
Oh my God.
I thought that song was so dope. I thought that song, Scream Murder, I Don't Believe You. This is how dope the song was. That song came out in 2000. It was made for Power of the Dollar. The song was so dope that they put it on Get Rich or Die Trying, the album that came out in 2003. When 50, it was the old 50 voice. It was before he got shot.
Facts.
But that song was so dope, they put it on Get Rich or Die Trying. Just so you know, this was the song that really got him on the map and got him in a lot of trouble. That was the streets.
No,
got
hold
a lot
on. You said what got him in trouble. I thought Ghetto Quran got him in a lot of trouble. Because a lot of niggas felt Ghetto Quran was, he was snitching, even though I never felt Ghetto Quran. Let me say this right quick. I never felt Ghetto Quran, how you niggas up there talking about 50 was snitching. Never felt that way. I always felt he was saluting niggas that was from Queens.
Well, to me, you can't snitch on everything that's public record. To me, how is that snitching? Is it snitching if I said the original 50 Cent was a shooter? Am I snitching if I said, yo, Alpo was selling drugs? Alpo had Wayne Perry work for him, the killing. Like, how is that snitching? Because I'm telling you, this is what happened. These were the killers in that era. That's what 50 did. So, boom. Anyway, the reason why I say it was murder, Scream Murder, is because clearly that was against Ja. Scream Murder, I don't believe you. Ja and them niggas were screaming murder, murder, murder. This was a song strictly at Ja and Irv and them niggas. Now, the Power of the Dollar shit, the only way you was going to get it is if you hit them streets. It was bootleg.
Facts.
It was a bootleg street. It never dropped.
That shit was not in the stores. That shit was never in the stores.
You had to be a hip-hop head like me and you was to even have heard Power of the Dollar. A lot of 50 fans have never heard Power of the Dollar because this was pre when niggas had computers, when niggas went on. Nah, this was 2000. You have to hit the streets to get this mix, to get the album. You know what I'm saying? And
niggas,
remember,
hold on. Niggas is throwing links on fucking allhiphop.com with them 50 joints. I'm not even going to hold you, nigga. I remember that shit vividly, fam.
And his joints was on a lot of mixtapes. So if you got a lot of mixtapes, the album hadn't come out yet, Power to Dollar. But a lot of the songs were being leaked out. So Get a Quran was being leaked out. Lord Forgive Me.
Good Die Young.
I'm saying, yeah, the Good Die Young. All of that. All of those songs are being leaked out.
Slow, though.
And,
all that shit.
Yeah, all those songs have been leaked out before the album came out. So you, if you wanted to, you could put a compilation together and have about 9 songs. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
From then, 50 was one of my favorite new young niggas. No question about it. I thought the nigga was nice. I thought the nigga was lyrical. He had beef. He was going. He had a war of words with Onyx. You know what I'm saying? I was really a fan.
Dawn, you were fucking with 50 this whole time. You were fucking with 50 heavy before 2002, when we seen the wrath of 50, just it was coming. We seen the hurricane. It was a category 4 coming.
I was fucking with 50 heavy in 2000. In 2000, heavy, heavy, heavy.
I wasn't though. I was keeping it stacked. I know it's 50 Cent appreciation, but my bro's keeping it real. How he felt. I didn't really fuck with 50 that heavy in the year 2000.
I fucked with it heavy in 2000 because that's when Power of the Dollar's music was coming out. I fucked with it heavy. I loved all the music coming from Power Dollar. I was just basing on Power Dollar. At the time, Tone and Polka, the Trackmasters, were the gold in New York City.
Yo,
them.
And listen,
and
a lot of you niggas probably don't know who this nigga's talking about, Tone and Polka. Do your Googles, man. Tone and Polka used to have some, they used to bless some niggas with some real fire beats, man. What would you say Tone and Polka style was, beats-wise?
Commercial friendly, but hardcore.
Yep, good way to put it.
I mean, it was the Trackmaster that brought Nas from underground to commercial success. It was when the Trackmaster overseed his shit. You know, the Trackmaster was so powerful that they were equal to Dr. Dre would say so. I'm telling you.
Ah, you go in there, Dr. Dre.
I'm not going there. I'm telling you what Dre's interview was in the source. With Dre's interview in the source. If you look at the Firm album, half of it was produced by Trackmasters. You think Dr. Dre wanted Nature on there? That was a Trackmaster MC. AZ, Half a Mill, all this is Trackmasters. The songs, the song with Foxy Brown and Nas, Trackmasters didn't have the fucking
you're
album.
You're not wrong. No, you're not wrong in what you're saying, what the body of work that they did. And I'm pretty sure if anybody producers listen to me and Sean, they probably be like, wow, these niggas said Trackmasters. But I don't know if I could put them in the same class category, in the same stratosphere as Dr. Dre.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing you're not understanding. Okay, so this is what I'm saying. Dr. Dre had completely fallen off by that time. He did Aftermath and flopped. He did Aftermath Presents and flopped, 1996.
He did flop, though, Dre.
There was no such thing as Eminem. There was no such thing as Eminem. So this is the period where Dre has nobody who he's blowing up, and he's fucking with East Coast niggas because he stopped fucking with draining niggas. Okay?
Yep.
Trackmasters were very powerful.
Dre and Trackmaster produced the firm, but the Trackmaster was powerful enough that they could take an album.
Now, let's take it to hip hop era between 2001 and 2002. And why I'm highlighting that, Sean, would you agree that Ja Rule had the hip hop team on a stranglehold at one time?
Ja Rule, in terms of commercial success in hip hop, from 2000, 2001, and 2002, he was the guy in hip hop. He was selling more than X and Jigga.
Here he goes. You love to say that. I know the last bit. You love to say that.
He was Murder Inc. He was Murder Inc. I'm trying to highlight to people who don't know how big a MC, a star Ja Rule was. What am I going to compare him to? Number one hit, number one single, did not have a number one single until New York State of Mind. His first number one single on Billboard was
All right.
New York State of
All
Mind.
Right.
Okay?
All
Ja
right.
had numerous number one singles. Numerous during that period.
But Ja, hold on.
Between 2000
but Ja
and
had, hold on. Ja might have sold more records at home at that time, but album-wise, Ja albums, singles, yes. Albums, it's none of his albums. Fuck what Jay-Z. Let's be fucking clear right quick.
Okay, that's your opinion. Because I know for a fact one of my most hardcore
Benny Vici?
From Brooklyn
Benny Vici, right?
Was telling me he always had Ja with them niggas, with the X's and Jiggas. Because Ja was out with them niggas. Like Irv said, Ja was rhyming with them niggas. Like, people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. Early X, early home.
Nigga,
Ja
I love the Murder Gram joint. I remember the Murder Gram joint with X, Jigga, and Ja. I love that joint.
1998, Can I Get a What? What? That was a Ja Rule song. Hold
That's Ja Rule song, yep. All right. Yeah, he did.
On that.
Facts.
Hold
Facts.
On that. Okay, so Ja Rule was that year you talked about, 2001, 2002. What is so significant about it was the 50 we heard was the 50 who had gotten shot. His voice changed. His flow changed. His delivery changed. Because he was rapping. Slug hit my jaw. I ain't wait for Doc to get it out. I don't smile a lot. I ain't never been pretty. Got a purple heart for war, but I ain't never left the city. That's
Can
what
I, hold on,
my
before you go.
Rapper.
Before you go, because you said something about 50 voice changing. Do you think 50, when he listens to Conway and sees Conway, he like really feels that pain in that nigga and shit. I just thought about Conway for a second.
Yes, I do. I know he does. Conway, 100%, just like he always felt Uncle Murder. And he got Uncle Murder now.
Right.
So he always wanted to fuck with Uncle Murder. But they tell his story.
Well,
Biggie wanted to sign Uncle Murder
a long time
ago.
Well, not because I want to say Uncle Murder. Yes, he likes Uncle Murder because of the music. I'm looking at Conway of the music and him getting shot. So I'm thinking 50 can really, you know, feel Conway. If 50 listens to the cow and listens to Conway's verse, I'm pretty sure he's like, wow, that nigga's talking my shit right there. You know what I'm saying? Ja Rule, because you're talking about Ja Rule for a second, Sean. Is it clear to say that this is the first time in hip-hop history that we've seen somebody come in the game and take out one of the top dudes and put him in a body bag, in another body bag, in my Tech N9ne voice?
Yes, because the Ja Rule that we talked about, who's the number one pop artist, ceased to exist once 50 came out officially. But the problem that Ja Rule and Irv Gotti had was that when they were on top, and 50 owned, when I say owned, I'm not exaggerating, 50 owned Jamaica, Fordham, Fulton Street, and 125th Street in New York City, if you were getting mixtapes in 2002. Ask any African. As soon as you walk by them, not even 50, got to get them. It was best of 50s everywhere. When I say the streets was his. Ja Rule and Irv Gotti could have
let the storm ride out, but they couldn't let the storm ride out. Male ego, male pride, they had beef with this nigga. They couldn't let it ride out. So this also was a self-inflicting one, too, because everybody got caught out.
Kind of antagonizing them, though. Let's keep it tall.
Huh?
I fuck with 50 heavy, but 50 was antagonizing Murder, Inc., though. Let's keep it real.
So they had some street beef. They had real street beef, but made it very clear, we're not going to let 50 make it. We're going to do everything in our power to stop it from happening.
Black
Wall? You already tried to get me on the street. Huh?
Are you going to use the word blackballing also?
Well, they absolutely blackballed him. They took him off of a Jennifer Lopez single and put Nas on it. That happened. That happened because Irv Gotti said, take 50 off. 50 was taken off. 50 hates Nas because of that. People like,
hey, Nas.
Just enough.
Hey, Nas, real quick, though, my nigga. I was disappointed even hearing rumors of you joining Murder, Inc., but go ahead.
Right. So that's what happened. They wanted to stop what 50 was doing, but when a hurricane or a tidal wave is coming, I'm going to quote Hov for everybody. I'm going to quote what Hov told the entire
world. On Breakfast Club.
50 is coming. You niggas got to do something. 50 is coming. He told these niggas. This is Hov. Top of the world Hov. Telling his whole team, yo, y'all niggas have to do something. This nigga is coming into the game. No album drop. This is all. We heard he sounded shady, but we didn't know what was going to happen, how soon the album was going to drop. So Hov was like, yo, I'm not going to get away with this and stop this shit. And he didn't. Murder, Inc. said, we're going to stop it. 50, here's the order protection. They ran to every radio station. We're going to stop it. Order protection. Your man just said, mind you, the album didn't come out yet. All he had was in the club at this point. They're in Wankster. And they running around, order protection and all that.
And let me say something right quick. 50 is one of the first, 50 is the first artist that I've ever seen in my two eyes, and I've seen a lot of artists live throughout my years of living and breathing hip-hop. This is the first nigga, son, that I've seen do shows before Get Rich or Die Trying coming out, and he's performing mixtape songs, and everybody, me mother, knows line for line, off the Tyler Quality blast shit, off the Busta Rhymes beats. Like, 50 was also the first nigga that was taking niggas' beats and making his own songs and hooks and all kind of crazy shit to niggas' shits, man. Those God plans and No Fear, No Mercy, and all that other crazy God's plan. My nigga, I probably can't speak for you, but those mixtapes were everything, right? That?
Everything. 50 Cent is the future was so important to me as a hip-hop listener because it was hip-hop that wasn't played on the radio. This was really, you listening to different hip-hop. Whatever was mainstream successful hip-hop, it wasn't that. This was street shit that a nigga's putting out. And the buzz was so crazy. Eminem said, oh, my nigga, I got to sign this nigga. Like, this is when M was selling a million in 1 week, when M was the biggest artist in the world. He's like, yo, this 50 Cent is so on fire that I'm going to fuck with him.
Well, we shot. Let's be real, at the time, not now, but at the time when we heard rumblings that M was going to fuck with 50, were we shocked?
I was shocked because I had no idea M was listening to that kind of hip-hop. Remember, M was doing, you know, that funny shit, that happy hip-hop shit, you know? I'm saying back, he was just doing funny, happy hip-hop, you know, that funny shit with D12, my band, you know, all that funny shit. So I had no idea. But when I heard, I was like, yeah, this shit going to be crazy. And then they dropped one of them mixtapes where he wrapped up one of them M beats. I'm like,
oh,
man, I'm with it when I spit it. Man, listen. Woo! I was.
And even took shots at the other Eminem shit when he was like, it's the blueprint, nigga. Are you learning or not? You already said I'm the nicest. Admit it, nigga.
Now tell him I'm the nicest. Admit it, nigga.
I'm a midlife crisis.
Midlife crisis.
And that's why I'm always like, yo, this ain't fun. Because he runs over to Guess Who's Back beat. I that shit. And I was looking at Guess Who's Back freestyle. Now I'm 50, killing that shit. Hov was like, yo, this nigga's
all
right, man. I don't know what the fuck y'all need to do.
Real quick.
He coming.
When it comes to the mixtape game, G-Unit or Dipset?
G-Unit. I'm not even thinking. G-Unit.
I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that. I'll definitely agree with that.
And that's no shade to Dipset, because Dipset was right there with them, and I had everything Dipset had. Zero shade. But you got to understand what the mixtapes did. Turned 50 into who 50 is now.
Yes.
Like, that's the end result of what his mixtape did for him. You know, so.
Hold on, my nigga. I'll take it up a notch. I'll turn it up a notch right here. 50 Cent mixtapes are better than 50 Cent albums.
No, I'm not going to go there.
I'm going to go there, my dude.
I think
all of G-Unit Radio, number ones, nah, son, of G-Unit Radio, No Mercy, all them shit is fire, man.
I would never pick a single G-Unit Radio and say it's better than Give It to Dutch Ryan. Give It to Dutch Ryan has the classic 50 songs on there.
Okay, here's an argument that people have had for years.
Here's the thing, 50 held Get Rich or Die Tryin' down by himself. He held that album down by himself. You know, he had that one song with Eminem. He had two songs with Eminem, one with Banks, and then one song with Young Buck. And then he had that song with Yayo on the hook, but Yayo didn't rhyme. I mean, listen, that's fine if you feel
now,
like
that.
Hold on. What you feel like.
Let me ask a question, because people have asked, I've heard people go back and forth on social media about this. Some people say Power of a Dollar, and leave comments on the bottom, y'all, which I think while me and Sean conversation here. Power of a Dollar or Get Rich or Die Trying? Some people say Power of a Dollar.
And I have no problem with people saying that, because now this is where it gets different. Power of a Dollar is lyrical 50. It's witty. It's lyrical. It's lyricism. It's lyricism.
Now, hold on. Can you say? I want to say something real quick before you go, Sean. Some people will say, "Well, why is Sean saying lyricism?" Here's why I take when you say lyricism. When I hear you say lyricism with 50 Cent, why I agree with you. And some people don't get props when it comes to lyrics. I think when it comes to hood tales and incorporating hood bars and just keeping it street and witty, 50 was A+ at one time with that shit, my nigga. A plus. He's not going to be miracle, spiritual, lyrical. He's not going to do that. But hood tales and painting a picture, that nigga's storytelling is very slept on too.
With lyricism, but here's the thing. 50's to blame for it, because here's what 50 highlights. 50 was like, fuck rap. You niggas who rap a lot, y'all niggas suck. His bottom line was, who makes the most money? Get rich or die trying. Russell Simmons said, okay, my nigga, you got rich. Now you got to do something about it because you're rich now. Because that's what he named his album, Get Rich or Die Trying. Well, he became filthy rich. Because he never put an emphasis or highlighted the fact that he could rap, and he only highlighted success, album sales, how much money. It was a self-inflicting wound. He, like, took himself out of the conversation. So people would be like, yo, Lloyd Banks nice in the 50s. Lloyd Banks nice in the – yo, Lloyd Banks don't have no power to dollar. I'm telling you niggas that now. I know y'all niggas like, yo, Lloyd Banks victory. Yo, you ain't hearing Lloyd Banks over Drew Santana.
Yo, don't do my nigga, yo. Don't do my nigga, TLK. Hold on. If you want to take it there, my nigga, there were some people at one time, this is 50 Cent appreciation, but we're going to talk about it right quick. There were some people who was fucking with Banks more than 50 at one time. I'm pretty sure niggas on the comments will say that too.
Listen, agreed. But my point is, here's the thing about 50. 50 didn't care. When people say, yo, Banks
right.
nice to me, he's like,
agreed.
Yo, I want people to think Banks nice to me. Because Banks was signed.
That's real shit.
He made more money off of Banks. 50 wanted Banks to get that kind of love. 50's bottom line was paper. I get money. This is what he's about. He's about getting that bread. 50 was about getting paid. So he did not want the best lyricist title. He wanted the King of New York title. But that was for different reasons. That wasn't for a lyrical title. He didn't give a fuck about that. So, but now let's get to Give It to Die Trying right quick. Give It to Die Trying was the biggest album to me since Doggy Style. That's how big that album was. To me, set the United States of America on fire. That I saw Can We Give It to God Trying did compared to Doggy Style. That was the last time Snoop's first album coming off the chronic. That was the
now,
last time I saw an album come out.
Is it also
the world?
Is it also safe to say 50 was the last rapper that got universal love from everybody? I'm talking about East Coast, West Coast, South, Midwest, regions all over the fucking place where they was riding with 50, my nigga. They didn't care if he was from New York because he even had that Southern drawl. So niggas fucked with him. Also on top of that also, was he the last rapper that got universal love like that? Don't tell me Drake, because I don't think Drake got universal love like 50.
Now, why did you say don't tell me Drake? Why did you say that?
Because I know you, because we do a show here together, and I listen to you when you talk.
Why would you think I would say Drake?
Because I think
50 was the last rapper to get universal love until Drake. Until Drake. Because remember, Drake
I don't think
Drake
got love. I don't think Drake got love from street niggas like that. The way the street niggas, 50 got love from street niggas, the nerds, the suburbs, the middle school niggas, the fucking substitute teachers, like 50 buzz. I don't think Drake had a buzz coming into the game like 50 did, my nigga. Drake didn't come into
the game.
Like he wasn't must see TV like that.
I agree. To the level and extent that 50, when he first touched down, would give it to that trying. No, Drake didn't have that one album or one moment. But in terms of Drake getting universal love, I'm saying, yeah, he gets that kind of universal love. He just didn't get it to the level, you know, that 50 got it. That's all I'm saying. Give it to that trying, you know. Haters was fucking with Give It to That Trying. I knew niggas that hated 50. I was the nigga, like I told you. I was playing 50 in 2000, 2001, 2002. And I kept telling niggas, 50 this, 50 that. Niggas like, that nigga ain't nicer than X. He's not nicer than this nigga. He's not nicer than
that. That was me. I'm your niggas. I would have been saying the same thing niggas. I was saying the same thing niggas were saying. He ain't better than X.
And
he ain't better than Styles. He ain't better than Kiss.
Yep. And then when Give It to Die Trying came out, I remember I went to work, my nigga, and everybody was playing it. And every single hater, I stepped to them. I said, yo, you listening to 50? Niggas used to have arguments. We was about to fight over the shit or who was the best rapper. And now these niggas was playing that album like it was their favorite album and they whip. I'm walking past niggas in their car playing 50 album. I was like,
son,
really?
Everybody's car was playing 50 Cent. Everybody's whip was playing 50, my nigga. Everybody's.
Fuck everybody's car. Hot 97 was 50 Cent's radio station during that period. They just played everything.
Hold on. We gotta throw out there the legendary G Unit Freestyle 97, though. Those were classics, those were they not?
Not to me. Their freestyles on their mixtapes was better than the flexes.
No, I'm not saying that, but hold on, my nigga. I remember vividly when that freestyle dropped, how everybody, yo, can I say this, man? And niggas ain't going to give it up, man. But that when Tony Yayo owned that High 97 freestyle with Banks and fucking 50, Yayo was on some other shit.
Here's what happened to me. That's not a highlight for me. Because I pissed off Flex was just hyping everything Yayo said. Because if you go back and listen to that freestyle, there's nothing memorable he said. It's just a lit.
Nah, you're buggy. I got my Trick Trainer
I'm
hit you like A.B. Fisher. Like he was saying something.
It wasn't better than Yayo when he was like bathroom so far away, it had the piss in the bottle when he was rhyming over Deep Cover. The freestyles they spit, the shit can get uglier than the Masterpiece sneaker, Banks Victory. They shit on mixtapes with a real shit.
That was a real shit, though.
But that's
why I said to you, them G-Unit mixtapes to me were better than 50 albums, man. Like, all right, if you don't want to say better, okay, let me not say better. Let me not say better then. Let me eliminate better in my verbiage. Let me say I play those more. How about that?
I play the 50 Cent
mixtapes more. I did, my nigga. For real, facts.
Listen, here's why, here's why I'm saying I don't believe you. Because I know when you got Get Rich or Die Trying, you played that shit. I know, but What Up Gangsta, to Many Men, you play those songs a whole lot. Like, I know you listen to
my nigga,
Many
let
men,
me ask you a question.
Gangsta,
how
a
many
lot.
Songs, hold on. Let me, let's, how many songs do we play, do we hear on mixtapes before the album came out?
Not a lot, because the Dre songs I didn't hear.
You didn't hear Many Men?
You had In the Club, Wangsta, Your Life's on the Line. Those were
I heard Many Men, though.
Okay, you heard of Many Men. I'm just saying, man, I played Get Ready to Die Trying. I played that album, my G. I played the album a lot. There was no single G-Unit mixtape I played more. That's all I'm saying.
Now, were we surprised how much albums that nigga sold me?
Okay, here's why I was surprised. 50 had to release the album early. It was supposed to come out on a Tuesday. He had to put it out on a Thursday because it was bootlegged and the whole streets had it. So I had the album before it came out, like a week before. So the thing that's crazy, just think about this. I had the album. I still went out and bought it. The
me too.
Everybody
because I had a DVD. Wait, hold on. I bought the album because I had a DVD with it.
That's right, the DVD with the Detroit show. Yes, I bought that one. I bought that. But here's the thing that's crazy. Think about it. We had the album. We already banged it for a whole week straight. Pause. And we still went and bought the album. That's why what he did was unreal. Everybody still bought the nigga's album. It's unreal. And he did 872,000 copies first week. And then he did 870,000 again the second week. This shit made no sense. And the club was number one song for like 6 weeks. He was a cultural phenomenon. It's easy to hate on 50 now because he can't make current hot music. So it's very easy, like, fuck that nigga 50.
Before we go there, let's go into The Massacre. I'm going to give The Massacre 3.5 mics. 4.
I'm giving The Massacre 4.5 mics. I love The Massacre.
4.5?
Yeah. To me, you're talking about, I'm giving you my opinion. I love it. It starts off with In My Hood.
Love In My
Niggas
Hood.
Niggas screw their face up at me on some real shit, son. They don't want beef. I cock and aim that shit out the
window.
I love
that shit.
Yo, I swear to God, when that shit comes out, aim that shit. Like, we couldn't stop saying that shit. Niggas screw their face. Yo, we love In My Hood. That was just the first song. Now, before all of that, Piggy Bank had already dropped and had the whole New York in a frenzy. So the impact of that album was the follow up to Get Rich or Die Trying. The whole world was waiting to see what this nigga was going to do. And to me, I fucked with it, man. I liked it a lot. Now listen, if you don't think it was better than Get Rich or Die Trying, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you don't have, like, I always
there's
tell
no
you,
way
like,
that shit was better than Get Rich or Die Trying. Do people actually feel The Massacre was better than Get Rich or Die Trying? That's a wild conversation.
Jewel Santana said it. He said, yo, people going to hate me when I say it. But here's the thing, though. When The Massacre came out, everybody had it. See, let me give you some real
because
things.
It was anticipated.
Everybody had
it. Because it was anticipated. 1.4 in 4 days. That was anticipated, though.
Had it. And Piggy Bank started a chain reaction in hip-hop. You had Fat Joe diss song. You had the Locks go on a 2-year run of dissing 50 for 2 years straight because of Piggy Bank. That really happened. So in terms of impact, that album had serious impact on the game. Now, it's okay. So it wasn't better than Get Rich or Die Trying. So what? Get Rich or Die Trying was a classic. It doesn't matter. They're like, what's better than Get Rich or Die Trying? That don't mean nothing. That means nothing because it wasn't better than Get Rich. But he was still that nigga. 1.1 in 4 days. 1.1 million copies sold
now,
in 4 days.
Hold on. There's something I got to throw out here, too. I got to throw something out here also. What's ill about 50, my nigga, is he dropped Get Rich or Die Trying. After that,
G-Unit beg for mercy. He could have dropped a second album right after that, but he decided to put the crew on. I think that was so ill when he did that. He doesn't get enough props for doing that, in my opinion.
Now, here's the thing people do not give 50 props for. 50 sacrificed a lot of his solo individual success for future shit. So, the Beg for Mercy album, because he knew the streets was on fire for G-Unit. So, put on G-Unit album, you know, Beg for Mercy, which went platinum, which sold. Then he
was fucking fire.
The motherfucking Banks album, Hunger for More. And all the niggas who got Banks was nice in the head, gave them something. And then he put out Young Buck's album.
Love Young Buck.
He put, now watch this, he put a lot of his.
Straight out of Cashville was a fucking classic, guys.
He put like Straight out of Cashville is a classic album.
Yeah,
and
man.
I like it better than and I like it better than any Banks album. It's my favorite G-Unit album of G-Unit members.
That's why you my bro. Hold on. Can I tell you that I said that on Twitter a couple of years ago, and niggas try to flame me?
Straight out of Cashville. Straight out of Cashville to me.
It's better than Southern Classic. Hunger for More 1 and 2 put together.
It's better than what?
It's better than Hunger for More 1 and 2.
It was. It was my favorite. Young Buck was spitting to me Southern hood shit in a way that was it was incredible.
Buck was
It was incredible, man. Straight out of Cashville, and mind you, and here's why you gotta get 50. Remember, 50 was all over these albums, man. 50 was giving direction. He was on hooks. He was on songs. He let them shine.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is still his run, and he's doing now. Mind you, he's doing all of this before the massacre.
Yeah.
Three projects before the massacre comes out. Wait a minute. My fault. Four projects before the massacre came out because he put out Game's album, the documentary, before the massacre came out. Because Game ran with the
documentary came out before the massacre?
Yep. Documentary came out before the massacre. You can go and Google it, YouTube it.
Well, I know it's both came out in 2005. I'm just trying to remember which one came out first.
But documentary came out first. You can look it up. But the point is,
not taking word now. Come on.
50 was all over that album. So you got to understand, this motherfucker is putting all this music and energy. And mind you, during all this time, he's still doing mixtapes. He never stopped doing mixtapes. With all of this shit we talking, he was still putting out mixtapes. Still putting out mixtapes. And then put out the massacre.
Here we go real quick. Did he alienate himself from New York rappers when he at the time was the biggest rapper and he had the opportunity and the power to unify New York? And I know people are going to say New York didn't fuck with him, so it took a white boy from Detroit and Dr. Dre to sign him. Niggas didn't want to show him love. He got blackballed. Sean highlighted that earlier from Murder, Inc. But do you think it took him, that Governor Island shit should have been when he was that nigga at the time. I thought the Governor Island shit that he tried to do with the locks and all these other niggas, that should have happened in 04, 05, 06.
I strongly disagree, and I hate when people say that. It wasn't 50's job to unite New York. It wasn't his job.
I didn't say his job.
His job to unite New York?
Evidently, he did try to unify New York. Did he not do that? Is that not why he did the Governor's Island shit? Because let's be real, my nigga. Yes, there's 50 appreciation, but niggas do be feeling like, yo, son, he try to gather niggas up now because 50 wasn't in high demand at the time when he did
that. Let me just say this about 50 just to show you how soft New York rappers are. 50 says so much shit about New York rappers that as soon as he called them, the niggas came running like suckers. They talk so much shit about the nigga. But the second he picked up the phone and said, yo, what's up? You coming through? Yeah, I'm going to be there. What happened to all the hard feelings? There was no hard feelings. 50 ain't have to unify shit. So I don't give a fuck that Fab said that and these other niggas. You know what I'm saying? This nigga signed Mark B. He signed M.O.P. He put out New York niggas. Last I checked, Banks was from New York. Yeah, yo was from New York. So when I hear that shit, I'm like, nigga, please. Like, I'm one of the niggas who never subscribed to that theory.
Let me tell you why I disagree a little bit. And what you said, I agree with some of your premise, but the other side of me is like, it would have been dope to see at that time. I'm talking about 02, 03, 04, 05, 06. If G Unit, the Lox, and Dipset would have done touring together and more collabs together at that time. We missed out on so much good music at that time. You can't say we didn't, my nigga. You can't. You're a hip hop lover like myself.
Disagree.
You can't
I
tell
strongly
me.
Disagree.
How could you disagree? And we could have got the Lox and G Unit joints in that era.
I strongly disagree. With every passionate as I can be, I strongly disagree. I'm not one of them niggas who on that DJ Khaled shit where I think if you hot, everybody should just keep rapping together. You know what I'm saying?
That's not DJ Khaled shit, though.
You know, I'll tell you why. You know why DJ Khaled shit? Because when DJ Khaled got on the scene, and as soon as Rick Ross got hot, and T.I. was hot, and T-Pain was hot, and Lil Wayne was hot, he had them niggas rhyming with each other on every fucking song for like 3 years.
So hold on. You're gonna tell me from 2002 to 2006, the Lox, G-Unit, and Dipset, their music would have been forced together? I don't think them niggas at that time, their music would have been forced.
No, I totally disagree with that. All did they own thing. I didn't need to hear them. I had my Dipset mixtapes.
I wanted to hear joints together and touring.
So you didn't want to see G Unit,
Dipset, and Lox perform. Okay, together. Okay.
No.
That's you then.
No, I didn't.
I did. You're bugging.
I'm telling you, I didn't want to see that shit. And I didn't give a fuck about
why
it.
Why didn't you want to see them perform together and do collabos?
I mean, come on.
Together.
I didn't give a shit about that, man. I did not care about that.
I gave a shit about that. Well, 50 obviously gave a shit about that.
Yo, 50 worked with so many niggas during his run. I do not give a fuck about that shit at all.
I do, man.
At all.
I do.
I didn't care. Oh, I ain't
now,
with Mob Deep. I ain't him with Duke Santana. I don't give a fuck about that.
I'm talking about the Lox, Jada Styles, Cam, them times there. That would have been dope to hear, my nigga. That's what I'm talking about.
What did you think about that Cam Jada song? Was that like Death of Fire scene? So they did a song together during that time. Why are you laughing? Because
I remember that
Jay
you talking about. That song was all right.
Yeah, I know you know what song
that's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
I forgot the name of that shit, too. But I know you're talking about.
So here's it. You had your Dipset and the Lox collab. Okay, so you got that. So aren't you happy?
I'm talking about touring also, nigga. Fuck out of here, nigga. I'm talking about touring also.
So why didn't the Lox and Dipset do it? Fuck G Unit. Why didn't the Lox and G Unit? Dipset just do that.
Because New York, let's be real, New York rappers, there's not a lot of unification. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of bullshit egos being in the way. That's why the South brothers, I give them this, they don't care about that shit as much as we do.
Okay. But Little Flip and T.I. disagree, but hey, that's how you feel.
I said, not as much, sir. Not as much.
I'm just telling you. Oh, GDC and Gucci Mane disagree, but I'll let you say what you got to say. Okay?
Sir.
I'll let you say what you got
to say. Not as, but hold on.
Okay.
That's street shit. No. That's street shit. New York niggas be worried. Hold on. New York niggas be worried about who's going to have the better verse, who's going to set it off, shit like that. That's what I'm talking about.
My nigga. It was over rap. Gucci Mane and Jeezy beefed over the So Icy song.
My nigga, right. That got took it to the streets, though. That shit got taken to the streets, though.
But it was over rap. It was over rap that it got taken to the street. You know, that's all I'm saying. So anyway,
now,
back to...
we're doing 50 appreciation, though. When did you see the tables turn for 50?
Oh,
because
nine.
It's pros and cons and appreciations.
Before I self-destruct. Oh, nine. Before
right,
I self-destruct.
After before
that
self-destruct
was,
or at...
No.
That was before the self-destruct.
The lead up to before I self-destruct, I would say 08 to 09, the slowdown was in full effect. But see, here's the thing I don't think people are understanding and want to accept. What goes up must come down. Thriller, Michael Jackson, because every album Michael Jackson came out with after Thriller could not
come close or compete with it. You know, that's what happens. So Nelly can never do a country grandma again. It happens. Juvenile
never do 400 degrees. This is where hip-hop fans sometimes be fickle, because niggas will give us a classic album and we're still going to judge them off that and expect them to drop the Illmatic Part 2 or Only Built for Cuban Links, you know.
But do you agree that Juvenile never dropped another 400 degrees?
Agree, totally agree with that. And I fuck with 400 degrees.
Classics. You can drop that super classic album and you can never reach it in terms of classic status or commercial success. It happens.
And it happens all the time.
50's run. It happens all the time. And the thing is, because 50 lost, this is another thing 50 did. Because 50 put so much emphasis on, you're either good or bad based on record sales. He told Sway this in an interview. If this shit don't sell, fuck that. You need to write that shit in the basement and keep it there somewhere. 50 talked a lot of anti-hip-hop talk because his body of work was about passion and, like, you got to think of this shit to write it. But he talked against that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter. If you don't sell records, your shit don't count. You know, The Mask of the Failure, if it sells one album less, then Give It You're Not Trying. That's what he said. The Massacre sold 5.9 million copies. Give It to Die Trying did 10 million. So to him, Massacre's a flop. You know what I'm saying? So he basically judged himself that everything he did was a flop now. So he put everything on the battle with Kanye West. He put everything behind it.
That Curtis album was.
Kanye West is the new nigga. By the way, Cameron named that album. You do know that. Will we
facts,
agree to that?
Facts.
That Cameron named
that? Of course,
that? Okay,
97.
Right.
Definitely.
Okay,
yo,
okay.
Let me say how 50, how ill 50 is. Let me piggyback on what you said about that. 50 so ill is when they interviewed him and Cameron was going, Curtis, 50 flipped the script, was like, oh, word? You think you're trying to play me on that? Nah, nigga, I'm going to name the album that. That was a very smart market employee on 50 Cent. I got to tell you that. And let me say this also. 50 did break up Dipset in a sense because – I think it was already broken up already. Fifty just put the nail in the coffin when he brought Juelz and Jim out there. I never felt Dipset recovered from that.
They did it, and Cam felt some kind of way about it. And 50 at that thing said, Cam, you no longer the head of Dipset, Jim Jones. And you know Jim Jones loved that.
Yeah, of course. He ate that shit around with it.
And the fact that you're beefing with
Jim was probably
Cam,
Jim was probably driving around Harlem, my nigga. Jim was probably driving around Harlem for like 2 hours playing that part when 50 said that shit all night, my nigga. He was so geeked off that shit.
And listen, it led to a breakup with Dipset. Capo became a boss. He became a boss. And he had a bigger single than Cam ever had. The Ballin'. Ballin' was a big single. It made the nigga rich. Made him rich. Koch money. But in terms of the slowdown, so 50 put everything into beating Kanye on this record set shit. Kanye being smart used that and it elevated him. So 50 did damn near 700,000 that week. Kanye did 900 and change. That was it. That's when it was.
I'm
going to
say something about that also. By 50 having that face off with Kanye is going to sell more albums. That shit helped 50 Cent sell albums, believe it or not. I don't think if 50 had that war with Kanye, it would have sold that much.
Tell me, it did help him, but it didn't help him enough because Kanye beat him by several hundred thousand. Now, 50.
We weren't surprised, were you? I wasn't surprised.
I was shocked because we were basing it on. I was. I didn't know what. Let me tell you what I didn't know at that time. That white America loved him. That the Oprah effect, you know, Oprah bringing him out, Oprah loving him. I didn't know that resonated with America up until that point. I found out it did.
Talking about Kanye West,
did.
My nigga. He was hotter than Fish Grease at the time, though.
Tell me. I did not know that. I'm telling you, I did not know that. Remember, Kanye West isn't one of my niggas that I listen to.
I'm not talking about listening to. Just to the massive how he attracted, how he was on every fucking TRL.
I felt the same
way as 50 fucking 106
I felt the same
Paul.
As 50 Phil.
You know what I'm saying?
I felt the same as 50 Phil. Why would Kanye think he could sell more than me when his first two albums never sold as much as my first two albums?
Because the buzz was, because I seen the buzz. I knew what's happening, and I wasn't shocked because I seen people kind of pushing away from 50 a little bit. Seriously,
okay.
I seen it.
So So my point is that's when the slowdown started happening. Even though he had the single that saved him, which is "I Get Money," because he
Facts.
Kept pushing
the album. Wait. Can you say that again for the slow niggas in the back, please?
"I Get Money" saved the Curtis album, and without the Curtis album, no, without "I Get Money," without the Kanye beat, he might not have done that crazy number that he did, because the album was pushed back. Remember, he released "Amusement Park" as the first single, okay, and "Straight to the Bank." Those were the lead singles. And "Fully Loaded Clip," produced by Habit, which was
I love "Fully Loaded Clip."
I did love
"Fully Loaded Clip."
Go up for that song. Go up for that song. Let me go up for that song. Habit producing of a hard song.
I fucking love "Fully Loaded Clip." That's my favorite song on the fucking
album.
Okay,
I know.
To be honest.
So, but those were the three songs. Nigga, that album had bangers on it. So that's where the slowdown.
What had bangers on it? What had bangers? What
I
had bangers?
I still kill with Akon.
That shit was aight, man. The Mary J. Blige, my nigga. The IO Technology, no 50. The Justin Timberlake song, Archie Bunker, Award, wait for it. No. All right, AO Technology was trash. Let's keep it tall, man.
How'd you like that song with Justin Timberlake and Jay-Z?
How does Jay-Z come back in this conversation?
I want to know, how did you feel about the song on Magna Carta with Justin
Timberlake?
My nigga,
you know,
how'd you feel about that
first
song?
Of all, Holy Grail is the name of the song. You know I didn't like Magna Carta. Like, that's one of the Jay-Z
albums.
What
did that song?
I didn't like it like that.
Not as much as
it does AO Technology.
Wow.
Come on, my nigga.
Wow.
AO Technology
okay,
was
so let me
trash.
Tell you, I love
that shit.
I love
trash.
AO I love
get
that.
Get the fuck out of here, nigga. That shit was garbage.
No, I'm sorry. I love it. Because, first of all,
did he have a Robin Thicke song on there, too?
Huh?
Did he have a Robin Thicke feature on there, also?
Yes, he did.
No, thank you. Get it out of here. Get it smooth the fuck out of here, bro.
Okay.
Curtis album is 3 mics.
Okay. Okay. We were just talking about
now,
when the slowdown started. And that's when the slowdown started, like literally right after that. That's when he kind of knew that was his last run at being that top nigga.
Yeah,
and
doing
songs
with Chris Brown and Trey Songz and these niggas. Nah, Fifth.
What do you mean doing songs with Trey Songz and Chris Brown and them niggas? What do you mean by that?
I didn't like that. I didn't like that Chris Brown joint he had. I forgot the name of that shit.
Okay.
I did not like that song.
Yeah, but dog, that's a I'm the Man? Bitch, I'm the Man.
No,
I'm
the Man. That's Sunny Digital. No. I don't like that. See, I don't like the Chris Brown version. I like the Sunny Digital version. I'm the Man is my shit. I love I'm the Man. That shit is fire, my nigga. That's why I say 50 mixtapes be better than his albums.
Okay.
Now, to play devil's advocate again, Fifth, we got to keep it real. How did you feel about 50 tape recording Young Buck's conversation?
I had no problem with it. I had zero problem with it.
Oh, damn it.
Because these niggas...
Really?
Because these niggas was going on radio lying on him. They were lying on him.
Didn't we just crucify somebody for doing that? Did we just crucify a nigga for doing that in battle rap taping conversations?
Yes, but I'm explaining why 50 had to do it. Young Buck was going out there lying. He was running around lying. 50 was like, "Oh, y'all really want to know how this nigga is around me? Made nigga when it come to me." 50 the only nigga we know to have real street niggas crying to him. That really happened. Actually, really happens. Official street niggas cry to 50. I'm sorry, man. Yo, man. Yeah, they really do that. And he showed it. He showed it. He was sick of niggas lying, especially niggas that he made rich. So that's why he did
make
it.
Niggas
I had
rich,
no
though.
Problem with it. I'm an all hip hop ride it.
But hold on,
I'm
I gotta highlight something else, Fifth. See, this is the part of the show where we get the pros and the cons. I did not like the May signing. I did not like the Spider Loaf signing. Who the fuck was Hot Rod, Fifth? Where'd you find that nigga from, B? Hot Rod? Olivia. I was good off that, my dude. Let's get off that. Do we want to hear music from 50? Another album? I want to hear another album from
50 still tries to make the
or
same
is
kind
is he
of
removed,
music.
Or is he removed from music and we're just focusing on power and other business
ventures
that
no,
he got going on?
He's not removed at all. He's still trying to make the music, and he makes the same music. Like, let's be real. That joint with Uncle Murder he got is okay. It's not a banger.
It's dope.
It's
I like
a street
it.
Classic.
I like it.
It's not a street classic, though. Please, not a street classic. He got another one with Uncle Murder and Jeremiah. It's Uncle Murder's single for the Lenny Grant album. And it's okay, you know. 50 still tries to rap like he's on Southside, and his life has changed so much since he was on One.
I don't think that. One thing about 50, even though he's made money and been successful, I still don't think he looks at himself as an industry nigga. He still got that
Southside Jamaican queen
sitting on the porch in front of his grandmother's porch. You know what I mean?
I agree, but his lifestyle is so different. It's an unrealistic lifestyle. He lives the lifestyle of a very rich man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he lives, he can feel that nothing changed with me, but it has changed. Money has changed. It changed his life. He lives a different life. When you have $1 million in expenses a month, it's because you live in a different kind of lifestyle. Appreciation is this. The reason why 50 is where he is because he's a hustler, he grinds, and his bottom line is making money. That was his whole thing. I want to make money by any means necessary. And he's making money legally. He's getting legal money. Now he's getting TV money. You know what I'm saying? You know, fucked around and got a hit with Power. He about to do a BMF show on Stars. He got other shit going on. Like, he do movies. So he's
right.
He's about getting that bread, that money. But all of this was able to happen because of the impact he made as a rapper. It's there's no 50 Cent without 50 Cent rapping those mixtapes in the early 2000s. None of this happens without that 50 putting in that kind of work, because it led to Eminem and the rest is history. So let me just be very clear when I say this. 50 Cent is one of my favorite rappers in the history of hip-hop. He will go down as a top rapper to me.
You got me in my Rushmore, don't you?
Yes, I do. On my personal Mount Rushmore. I will
now,
never do the generic Biggie, Jay-Z, Nas, and Pop, like everybody else says.
Here's why I'm going to ask you real quick about that. You are a dude that came up under LL, Run DMC, Fast Forward, maybe a little bit before that, and Fast Forward down. So we both of us have seen a lot of shit in this culture. Put 50 over that came into this era of 2000 over the 90s and early in the 80s, the Mount Rushmore. Shouldn't that be to the Chief Keefs of the world? Who else should put 50 in that light? Not niggas our age.
If you listen to what we talked about, we said Hot of Rob came out in 1999. 50 Cent is still relevant. He still raps. He still puts out music. He's still an impact in the hip-hop culture. If you look at the whole body of work that he's done, like, remember, mixtapes don't get counted, but that is, do you know how much music he gave us in the 2000s?
Facts.
We didn't even talk about the second Young Buck album, the second Lloyd Banks album, the second G-Unit album, the Get Rich or Die Trying soundtrack with I Whip Your Head Boy. Like, we didn't talk about that. He had
and when
so
it, when it
rains,
yo, my nigga, when it rains, it pours. When it rains, it pours. One of my favorite joints, yo. I love that fucking joint.
Produced by Dr. Dre. I Whip Your Head Boy, one of my personal hardcore classic songs. For everybody who's a sports fan, Zab Judah came into the ring playing I Whip Your Head Boy. Floyd Mayweather came into the ring playing I Whip Your Head Boy, okay? This nigga was still impacting the game, okay? So that impact he had, man, it was a long, impactful run with a lot of music. Like, that whole decade of the 2000s, man, he had a lot of fucking music. We can't go to no year from 2000 to 2009 where 50 didn't have at least two projects that came out that year.
That's
mixtapes for 10 straight years. That's wild to me, man.
All right. Well, that's our 50 Cent appreciation. Y'all know how me and Sean do it all the time when we talk about the appreciation, man. Now, let's do some NBA talk, my G. Last time we spoke about this individual, Mr. Ball, played for the Lakers. He was out here stinking up the joint, you know. And you know what's funny also? You and I spoke about his kicks, right? And then the next game, he wears Kobe Bryant's kicks and almost has a triple-double. And he's playing tonight also right now against Cleveland. And LeBron James came to check him out, Sean. And I find it very ironic that LeBron James came to check out LeVar Bell. LeVar Bell, I keep saying Bell. Mr. Ball didn't come to watch Cleveland play. I'm more convinced LeBron's going to the Lakers, my dude.
Okay, Lonzo Ball.
He's saying LeBron to Lonzo.
Lonzo Ball is going to be a great player, in my humble opinion, because he has what you need in modern day NBA.
Court vision. Court vision.
No. That's a gift. People hate his shot because it's ugly, right? They hate it. But he can shoot. He can hit that shot, though. That's the thing. You can't just leave him like you can leave a Chris Paul. To me, I believe he's like a Jason Kidd with the three-point jump shot. That's how I envision him.
But he hasn't shown us yet in some of the league that he can hit that three consistently.
To me, he's shown it. I believe it in his three. I know he can hit that shot. To me, I'm not even worried about that three-point shot because he's going to have the shot. Let me tell you something. If you can shoot threes in the NBA, the shot will always be there for you. The threes never are not going to be there for you if you're going to shoot threes.
Well, if you're comparing him to Jason Kidd, if you're comparing him to Jason Kidd, Jason Kidd came into the league not having a good J also.
Jason Kidd never developed a J. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. He just kept
three-pointing out a little better.
Eventually, they're going to go in. Eventually, they're going to go in and keep shooting it. But Jason Kidd never left saying, man, Jason Kidd got the jump shot. No, Jason Kidd is one of the number 2 in assists all time, one of the greatest court vision, greatest team leader dudes. Yes. Lonzo Ball is taller than Jason Kidd and can shoot better. I think he is going to be a special player. And LeBron, I don't know what to read in that because you never know what LeBron is doing. LeBron likes to dick ride stuff, so we never know what LeBron is going to do.
Is it sketchy, though, that he went to watch him play, though, after him and his pops?
No.
After him
Mayweather
and pops, Dukes had little words.
Mayweather's
different, though. He doesn't play ball, my nigga. He's going as a spectator.
No. But my point is, so let's be clear. Tell everybody. Lonzo Ball games are the most attended, and they sell out the summer league events.
Facts.
The games that he play in. He's the draw. He's the attraction. So, fucking LeBron is in Vegas. Like, yo, I got to see this nigga. Niggas is mad hype off of him. And the game LeBron showed up, LeVar Ball got busy.
Not wearing his kicks. Not wearing his Alonzo kicks.
I'm not happy.
What do you think about that?
I wasn't happy about that. You have to wear those kicks, man, because to make this shit pop off, when people see you having a good game, they need to see those kicks. Because whether they're garbage or not, or Under Armour ugly, Steph Curry has Under Armour on, and when Steph Curry's doing all this crazy shit, you got to recognize Under Armour. You know what I'm saying? You got to put some respect on it. You got to wear your kicks, my G. You have to wear those fucking sneakers.
I think people are going to want to play with
Lonzo as the years progress, not maybe not this year, but as year two, year three progresses and he matures and his body develops, you can't tell me NBA players that are looking like, yo, this nigga wants to pass the rock. All I got to do is be open and he's going to pass the fucking rock. Very unselfish, man.
Let me just say this about young players and rookies. Nothing they do matters for until the first 4 years of their career. So this is all great and this is nice. But when he's 24.
I disagree with that.
25? When he's 24 and 25, that's when we're going to know. The only reason why Kyrie's where Kyrie is because he's playing with LeBron. DeMarcus Cousins at 24, great. John Wall at 24, great. All these guys got to put some years under their belt because the first thing 19-year-olds are trying to prove, they're trying to prove they can play in the NBA. They're trying to solidify that. So it means something when they play in the game and they score. They want to prove that we can actually play in the league. It takes them years to get that under their belt. That's why no championship team has young players on it. It's all veterans.
Right.
That's why when LeBron said, I need players, who did he get? He got Carl Culver. He got fucking Damon. He gets veterans. Veterans. That's what motherfuckers get. They get veterans. So the young niggas is going to be the future, but it's going to take them a while. Look at where John Wall is now. Now John Wall is being considered great. John Wall just now had his best year ever. Look how long it took. You know what I'm saying? So.
Hold on. Any concern with John Wall not signing that extension yet?
No. No concern. Because from what I'm hearing, next year there's going to be they're going to raise the ceiling. So you're going to be able to get a higher max. So he might be smart. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be very upset because you're going to see a lot of $200 million players that's going to fuck you.
I'm going to throw up. Yeah. I'm definitely going to throw up when I see this. What do you think about OKC right now, my nigga? Paul George, Raymond Felton. They're trying to add some pieces over here. I guess trying to convince Russ to stay.
All of these moves are for Russ, but the problem is this is the lease for Paul George. It's a one-year deal. I mean, Paul George really wants to go to L.A. See, here's what's going to happen. L.A. is going to have to be trash, and OKC is going to have to be a lot better, where he's like, damn, I go to Los Angeles. Ball is still not ready yet. You know, he's.
So hold on.
I don't
OKC
know, man.
OKC was a 6 seed last. They were the 6 seed last year, right?
Yeah.
So what, they'll bump up one this year with Paul George, 5-4,
I believe they can win 50 games this year. I believe Portland Trail Blazers potentially will not make the playoffs. I believe the Utah Jazz potentially will not make the playoffs. It's going to be New Orleans and it's going to be Minnesota who get them to
New Orleans.
So, yeah, New Orleans. New Orleans with Anthony Davis, first team.
We'll revisit that conversation. We would definitely revisit New Orleans.
And DeMarcus Cousins, the hands down best two big men in the game. No debate. Nobody's going to even try to debate. Is anybody going
to
debate that those are the two best? Okay. So the two hands down best big men are going to be on the same team and they're going
to
play.
They're trying to get Rondo too, though.
I think you need, and let me tell you something, they need Rondo. You got to have somebody who can orchestrate this shit. You can't have DeMarcus Cousins orchestrate this shit. Even though he's good enough to do it, you can't have him doing it. You need Rondo because Rondo don't want to score. Rondo just wants to run the show. So that'll be a good pickup.
Quarterback.
Veteran pickup.
Yo, you said the Timberwolves, my nigga. Starting at 5 is serious.
The Timberwolves, to me, are a playoff team in the West. I think they're better than Utah, and I think they're better than Portland right now, the way they're constructed. And those are two teams that made the playoffs.
But is it going to be hard to have all those young guys on the court together, two gets touches and young egos? You know, Towns probably feels not getting enough touches. Jimmy Butler's there now, and then you're trying to develop Wiggins. And then Jeff Teague, and being a new point guard, he has to distribute the ball and make sure everybody's happy.
Well, if anybody learned anything from watching Golden State, that you are going to have to sacrifice stats if you want to win. If anybody paid any attention, because every single starter on Golden State's stats went down. Steph Curry went from averaging 30 to 25. KD went from averaging 28 to 25. Klay Thompson completely dropped, but it was for the bigger picture. So when you have a bunch of stars, you could have a potential Dallas situation, what happened with Mashburn, Jim Jackson, and Jason Kidd, because they were just so young and they all wanted to prove it. Or you could have guys, let's see if Jimmy Butler and Jeff Teague can use their veteran shit and keep it. First of all, I don't like Tom Thibodeau as a coach. I know you like him. I don't like him.
I like Tibbs, man. I fucks with Tibbs, man.
Like
I want Tibbs to be a Knicks coach, man.
I don't like Tibbs. Tibbs is too hard, man. He's too hard.
He's from Riley Tree.
He's too hard. And I hate Pat Riley.
Did you hate Pat Riley?
Well, hold on. I'm glad you said that. I hate Pat Riley. I read Showtime. Why don't people realize? Okay, I'll ask people this. Does anybody know why Pat Riley stopped coaching the Los Angeles Lakers? Remember, he was the coach of Los Angeles Lakers. He coached Magic.
Of course.
Because all the players went to Magic and said, yo, this nigga's working us by too much Magic. We want him out. Magic went to ownership.
Well, Tim Hardaway, Tim Hardaway had issues with that, where Riles working niggas like a Dwayne Wade, too. They were like, we don't want Pat Riley coaching. We'll let
the coach. I don't like those kind of coaches. I don't like those kind of coaches who want authoritarian power and they want to work you to death because they can do it.
So you don't like Bobby Knight?
Let me tell you a Pat Riley story you don't know about. Let me tell you a Pat Riley story you don't know about. Todd Day was in training camp. He signed on as a free agent.
Todd Day.
Pat Riley was giving a speech. Todd Day was laughing. Pat Riley cut him. Pat Riley cut him and threw him off the team. Just because when Pat Riley was talking, it wasn't undivided attention to Pat Riley. Okay? So, no. You said Thibodeau from the Pat Riley school of thought. I don't like those kind of coaches. My coaches are like my nigga Steve Kerr. You know the guy who got two championships? That guy.
Yeah, he got Mark Jackson. He got Mark Jackson rings.
Let's be clear on the show. Oh, that's what he got? He got Mark Jackson? Okay. All right.
He
does it? He just like Phil Jackson took all the Doug Collins championship. I agree with you.
Just like Tony Dungy. Just like John Gruden got Tony Dungy's ring. Same shit.
Just like Phil Jackson took Doug Collins championships, right? Right? That was Doug Collins.
Doug Collins a little different, though. Barry Switzer got Jimmy Johnson rings. Barry Switzer got Jimmy Johnson rings. Same shit.
Same exact team. The greatest move Golden State ever did. What would have resulted after they fired him?
They got a championship.
Two rings. It was a great move. Because results, it's the results that matter, not your feelings.
Hey, Mark Jackson, pardon my brother for a second, but I'll take you back. I'll take you as the next coach tomorrow. Get Jeff Hornacek off my squad today, please. Bounce, nigga. Poof. Be gone. Go ahead.
All right.
What do you think about all the niggas? What do you think about everybody going to the West, though, my nigga? Why is everybody going to the West? I don't understand niggas. Should you not try to avoid Golden State?
Niggas is getting paid, and it's the best deal they got out there. And nobody beats LeBron James, man. LeBron James got the East on lock. That's his.
Watch out for the Celtics.
You
that's all I'm saying.
You watch out for the Celtics.
Not right now, but... I like what they're doing, man. That boy Tatum is going to be a fucking baller. He's going to be a fucking baller, my nigga.
You're right. 2 years, 3 years down the line.
Y'all niggas talking Alonzo Ball and shit. Y'all talking Alonzo Ball shit. Tatum's a fucking hooper, my nigga. I'm impressed by that young boy, man. Facts. What do you think about my Knicks, though? They talking about slowing down the trade talks to Melo, and now they want to convince Melo to stay. I want to throw up.
I don't think nothing about your Knicks. They're not contenders. There's nothing they could do to be contenders. It's a wasted season. Y'all are just Knicks fans, and y'all are just going to miss out on great NBA because y'all are living and dying through every Knicks game when you know y'all are not going to be contenders. So have fun watching the Knicks while I'm on ESPN and NBA TV watching the real shit.
My nigga, don't do my Knicks like that, man. Poor Porzingis, we got Jimmy Hardaway Jr.
Oh, come on, my nigga.
Hernan Gomez. Courtney Lee. Hopefully we can trade Courtney Lee and get Jamal Okafor. I don't know, B. Knicks are trash right now, son. They're hot garbage. Oh, man. Take us home, my G.
Just a podcast, we're going to get that sports talk, that hip-hop talk, that battle rap talk, even though you ain't get no battle rap today, but you get that.
You get it this weekend.
When it's relevant, right. You heard?
All right, my nigga.
Subscribe, easy. Man. Hit that subscribe button so you can hear it.
Facts. Good night.
All right.
Easy.
One.